I spent many summers teaching in different day camps as chinuch staff. I spent a couple of summers teaching in Ruach day camp. A lot of children from this community. That was before I had the job here in the shul. And one summer I was talking about Cheder Egel, because Moshe Rabbeinu brings it up in Parshas Ekev, so it's a summer topic as well. And I was teaching first grade girls going into first grade, about Cheder Egel. And the end of the story is Moshe Rabbeinu comes down with a second set of luchos, which was the ultimate sign of forgiveness, the worst avera in the entire world, and we were forgiven. And on what day did Moshe come down? They didn't know. I said, but this is the reason why this day has been chosen as a day of forgiveness every year forever. And what day is that? And they didn't know. I said, this is a very special day in Jewish life. The Purim! I said, well, okay. It's a day that we daven all day. Pesach! I said, this is one of the holiest days of the Jewish year. Rosh Hashanah! I said, oh, even holier. Yom Ha'atzma'ut! The answer is Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is the holiest day of the year we think of. And yet, there's a Hasidic idea of Yom Kippurim. Yom HaKippurim. Yom Kippur, as holy as it is a day like Purim. If I asked you what are the main themes of Purim, you'd say, Simcha, Achva, Reyes. You wouldn't think that tefillah is so critical on Purim. You wouldn't think that necessarily. If you ask, what's a day of tefillah? Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, those line up. But Purim, a day of tefillah? It's interesting. Many quote this Radvaz in source number one. There's Mishnah Berurah quotes it. Many quote this Radvaz. Radvaz was asked, if a person was in jail and had permission to leave jail for one day of the year to be able to daven with a minion, what should he pick? What should he pick? If he could daven one day a year with a minion, what should he pick?
The next one.
So the Radvaz answers that he heard from a previous Rav, he should focus on the most important day of the year, like Yom Kippur or maybe Purim. The Rabbaz disagrees. He says, your next opportunity, if it's tomorrow, if it's a random Tuesday in July, take it. Daven with a minion. When the poskim, like the Mishnah Berurah, quote this Rabbaz, they say, daven the first day that you can with a minion, and don't wait below yachmitz ha-mitzvah lahamtin al yom kippur o purim. The example is given for what could be, if you're going to wait, which we pass and you don't wait, daven the next day with a minion. But the examples of why you would think it's better to daven with a minion is Yom Kippur and Purim. And some say, you see from over here, Yom Kippur and Purim are the most auspicious days for tefillah. It's not exactly a good proof. He's talking about being able to hear Megillah. So being able to hear Megillah is a big deal. So maybe that's a reason to go. But that can't be the whole story, because Parsha Zachar is a din daraisa. He doesn't enter in the possibility of getting out to hear Parsha Zachar min daraisa. But either way, maybe if this source doesn't prove Yom Kippur and Purim have a connection, or that Purim is a great day of tefillah, the Sefer Machshava, Sefer Kabbalah, I give it to you from Rav Tzedok in source number two. He quotes from the Zohar, Mesadiyah, Yom HaKippurim. Whenever the Torah tells us this is like this, whenever you say A is like B, it means B is even greater. A is like B. B is the gold standard. Yom HaKippurim sounds like not just Yom Kippur and Purim might be similar, but that Yom Kippur is trying to attach itself to Purim. Purim is an even holier day than Yom Kippur. The idea of Purim as a day of tefillah. Again, the Sefer Machshava quote this. I gave it to you from Rav Tzedok in source number three. There's a halacha when it comes to Matanos Le'Avyonim, based on the Talmud Yerushalmi. Shulchan Aruch quotes it. When it comes to Matanos Le'Avyonim on Purim, Ein Medaktikim B'mitzvahs Purim. When it comes to money on Purim, we don't check to see if someone's really worthy. Alakol Misha Poshet Yado Litol Nosim Lo. If someone reaches out their hand for tzedakah, you give them no questions asked. And the Sefer Kabbalah, Sefer Machshava say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim Mitzvah Zekeinim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu follows his own mitzvahs. And he follows the mitzvahs of the Chachamim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself follows this rule. On Purim, someone puts out their hand, he gives no questions asked. No saying tzedakah v'chol dorsha yeshuaso v'chol ha'inyanim. Not just for money, but for shidduchim, parnasa, health, whatever it is. On Purim, you reach out to Hashem, no questions asked. Worthy, not worthy, you get. Purim is an auspicious day for tefillah. Question is why? Where does that come from? What is that based on? What in the elements, what in the mitzvos of Purim indicates that? There are four mitzvos on Purim, and none of them are about tefillah. Mikra Megillah, Matanos Le'Avyonim, Mishloach Manos, Mishnah V'Simcha, none of that has anything to do with tefillah. Is tefillah really emphasized on Purim? There's obviously no Musaf, it's not a day of Isra Malacha, but there's not even Hallel, it's not even Chanukah. There's There could be so much more tefillah, and there isn't. So where does this notion come from? This Yom Kippurim, this holy special day of tefillah, a day in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds to all who outstretch their hand, gives them whatever they want, no questions asked, a day of powerful tefillah. But A, where does that come from? And B, how is that reflected in the halachos and the mitzvos of Purim? Where do you see any emphasis, any power to the idea of tefillah? I want to share with you an idea tonight. It's mostly based on what I heard from Meir Twersky. Meir Twersky from YU, tremendously deep thinker. I've heard him talk about this several different times. One of his main go-tos around Purim time. It's a phenomenally deep idea and really teaches us what Purim and tefillah are all about. And why Purim really is not just an auspicious day for tefillah, but really that's the core of the entire day. Rabbi Twersky pointed to a Rambam who talks about the idea of Mikra Megillah. The Rambam in his Sefer HaMitzvos lists all the mitzvos d'oraisa. The Rambam was one of them, not the first, but one of the most famous to count the Taryag mitzvos. Chazal say at the end of Maseches Makos with the Gematria that there are Taryag mitzvos. And then for many generations, people have spent a lot of effort figuring out how do you count those Taryag mitzvos. The Rambam has a list of the positive commandments, the negative commandments, and really has three different ways of listing them. First, he lists them very quickly. He gives you just a rundown of like mitzvah aleph is this and bay is this, a quick rundown like a table of contents. He also has in depth describing what the mitzvah is, where it comes from. Then he has Mishnah Torah. He actually has all the halachos, all the details that come from Shas and come from Tosefta's and all the different Torah Shabbat Peh. At the end of his small list, at the end of his table of contents of all the mitzvos, he has a paragraph, the only paragraph on the entire section, because it's mostly just a list of mitzvos. He talks about mitzvos derabanan. There were some who count, like the Bahag, who count the mitzvos derabanan toward the Taryag, like saying Hallel, Chanukah, and Purim. They counted those in the Taryag. And the Rambam argues, no. Taryag is only for mitzvos d'araisa. We don't count mitzvos d'rabbanan. Then the Rambam asks, what right do the Chachamim have to make up mitzvos d'rabbanan? Isn't that Bal Tosef? We're not allowed to add on to the mitzvos, which means not to add a fifth parsha to tefillin, and also we're not allowed to add a brand new mitzvah. So if we can't add a brand new mitzvah, what gave the Chachamim the right to give us brand new mitzvos? So the Rambam here in source number 4 addresses this question. He writes, V'yesh mitzvos acheros, after listening to Taryag mitzvos, there are other mitzvos, sh'nischad shu achar matan Torah, they were developed later in Jewish history, the kavu osan neviyim v'chachamim, they were established by great people, with prophecy, and with a beis din, u'pashtu b'chol Yisrael, they became binding for all the Jewish people, kigo mikra megillah, ner chanukah, tayinus tisha b'av, about Erevin, all these different halachos, and we're obligated to keep them, because of lo sasser, the Torah tells us, don't deviate from the chachamim tell you to do. So ask the Rambam, where it's underlined, V'yamayiz hira Torah lo tosef. If that's not Bal Tosef, to add onto a mitzvah, or to add onto the Torah, what is Bal Tosef? Says the Rambam, Shelo yi'anavi rashai lechadish davar velomar shakadosh baruch hu tzivahu b'mitzvah zo lehosifa l'mitzvah sa Torah. If Chazal would have come along and said, Hashem told us a 614th mitzvah, Hashem wants you to read Megillah on Purim, that would be Bal Tosef. For the Chachamim to come along, even with their Nevuah and with their Beis Din, to come along and say that the Torah, this mitzvah is Daraisa, that the prohibition of chicken and milk is Daraisa, Chazal can't do that. Chazal can't make up a Gzera or a Takana and tell us that it's been a Torah. Aval im hosifu Beis Din im Navi, sheyia ba'oso azman mitzvah derech Takana, o Hora, o Gzera. If the Chachamim add something on their own, ein zo tosefes, it doesn't violate Bal Tosef, because they're not saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us about Erevin or about Ner Chanukah or about Mikra Megillah. If they would have, it would have been Bal Tosef. Then the Rambam adds a second criteria. Not only must the Chachamim make it clear that this mitzvah is not Minat Torah that they're adding on, they have to also say, where it's underlined, Shanaviyim and Beis Din Tiknu Vitzivu Likros HaMegillah Ba'onasa. He's going the example of Mikra Megillah. Perfect for our topic tonight. When Chazal came along and told us to do Mikra Megillah, they did it kidei lahazkir shivachav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The purpose of reading the Megillah, where Chazal wanted us to read the Megillah, is to have a chance to praise Hashem of His hand in saving us, with chuos she'asalanu, and the miracles and salvations He did for us, v'yakarov l'shaveinu, that He is close to our cry, to our tefilos. Kidei levarcho u'lehalalo. The reason why we have to do this is to praise Hashem. Ukidei lahodia, an important word, we'll get back to this word later. Kidei lahodia, to publicize, to pursue my nisa. Not just to praise Him for His nisim, but for us to be aware of. Lahodia, ledoros habaim, for all generations. She'emes ma shehivtichanu b'Torah, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu told us, in the Torah, is true, And listen to this pasuk. We're going to come back to this pasuk time and time again in tonight's shir. Pasuk in Parshas Vayeschanan. Look out for this pasuk tonight. Moshe says, "Ki mi goy gadol? Who is a nation like Am Yisrael? Asher lo Elokim krovim elav, that Hashem is so close to the nation. Kashem Elokeinu b'chol kareinu elav, like Hashem who is so close every time we call." Kadosh Baruch Hu is there. He listens to our tefillah. He is responsive to our tefillah. That is the message of Megillas Esther. And that's why Chazal were allowed to establish this mitzvah. Rav Twersky pointed out, the Rambam is saying two things have to be true for Chazal to be mechadish a new mitzvah without violating Baal Tosef. Number one, they have to make it absolutely clear that it's a mitzvah d'Rabbanan and not an add-on as a daraisa level. But that's not enough. They have to be tapping in with their mitzvah to something the Torah already values. Even if they would say the following is the Rabbanan, not the Raisa, but they would not explain how it reinforces or protects or facilitates an existing value in the Torah, that would also be Baal Tosef. Because otherwise, why is the Rambam giving us this? All he had to say was, and if in case you're wondering why Mikra Megillah and Erevin and Tainus Tisha B'Av aren't Baal Tosef, the answer is because they tell us it's only the Rabbanan, and they don't pretend that it's the Raisa. On top of that, he had to add, and it also supports, like chicken and milk. Chazal came along and said, Kadosh Baruch Hu says no basar b'chalav, and we say no basar of with chalav to protect that mitzvah. So it's in the framework of an existing taryag. Chazal can come along and say, this is the Rabbanan, by the way, don't lose sight of that. And it reinforces and protects or facilitates a mitzvah d'araisa. Mikra Megillah, Purim, the Rambam is saying, is only okay to exist because Chazal made it clear it's not d'araisa, and because it facilitates an existing value in the Torah. What value is that? Tefillah. That's what he says. Lahodia, aside from praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is part of our tefillah, praising Hashem, Shevach, we spent a lot of time talking about Shevach as a form of tefillah, but also Bakashas, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who is close to us. He answers us, Migoy gadol asher lo Elokim krovim elav, who is a nation like us that has Hashem so close to them? Kashem Elokeinu b'chol kareinu elav. That is the main theme of the Megillah. The Rambam is telling us, Rav Twersky pointed out, that Mikra Megillah is teaching us the power of tefillah. In that story where there was a near miss, a near annihilation, the antidote, the answer, was tefillah. When Esther tells Mordechai, Leich kenosis kol Yehudim, yes, there was sackcloth and there was fasting, all of which was facilitating tefillah. Tefillah b'tzibur, tefillah b'eis tzara. The Megillah teaches us that lesson, and therefore it reinforces an already daraisa concept of tefillah, and therefore it's not Baal Tosef. Where did the Rambam get this from, that this is the main theme of the Megillah? If I asked you, what's the Megillah's main theme, you would say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is evident even when he's not seen, he's available in nature, Ben HaPachu, things sometimes turn topsy-turvy, Am Yisrael is vibrant, will last forever. Where did the Rambam get this idea that the main drive of the Megillah, that's main theme which supports the Daraisa, is this idea, Lahodia, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is responsive to our tefillos, and he is always close, always able to be responsive when we call out in Shava, when we call out in cry, when we call out in pain or tears. First, he pointed out, it comes from the Gemara Maseches Megillah. The Talmud Bavli in Maseches Megillah has a whole list, a page and a half, of each of the different Amorayim, how they would open up their shir on Mikra Megillah. They felt one pasuk, not a pasuk in the Megillah, a pasuk elsewhere in Tanakh, that they felt really encapsulates the Megillah. Mora has a dozen different approaches, a dozen different people who gave an approach of how they think the Megillah can be summarized. And one of the approaches is Rav Masna. Rav Masna, source number 5. Rav Masna, the great Amora Rav Masna, said when he would start darshaning about Megillah, he felt the main theme was, Ki mi gadol, mi goy gadol asher lo Elokim krovim elav, kashem Elokeinu b'chol kareinu elav. That, he felt, was the theme of the Megillah. The Megillah is all about how Hashem is responsive to our tefillahs. Okay, so we just pushed the question back a bit. The Rambam got it from the Gemara, but where did the Gemara get this from? Rav Masna, where did he get this from? Why does he think this idea is so central to the Megillah? So I gave you the Maharsha and I gave you the Maharal. The Maharsha, on the back of the Gemara, in source number 6, explains how does this idea of Hashem being close to us play an important theme of a lesson in the Megillah? So says the Maharsha, Ki Haman Amar Shekvar Herchikam Elokeihem Me'al Panav. Haman claimed in his sales pitch to Achashverosh, the Jewish people have lost their connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Haman says, Yeshno Am Echad Mefuzar U'mefarad Bein Ha'amim B'chol Medinos. They're scattered, they're not together, they don't have any connection. The Mikdash is gone, they're sense of sovereignty in Israel is gone. They're all scattered about. They can't daven anymore. Now's the time to take them down. It was a good taina. If we don't have tefillah anymore, we really could be destroyed. And what's the lesson in the Megillah? Al-Kain Amar, the message is, Rav Masna felt the main theme of the Megillah is, the Rambam followed in this path, the main theme of the Megillah is, Ki lo Elokim krovim b'chol karenu. No, Hashem is close, wherever we are. Tehainu b'chol makom shekarenu elav, wherever we are, wherever we find ourselves, in galus, together, separate, wherever we are. Hu karov lanu, he is close, he is available, he's responsive, he's listening. V'ein kan harchaka, and we're not distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He is responsive to our tefillas. Ki melocha la'aretz kevodo, because he is everywhere, he is accessible to us, wherever we find ourselves. That's one approach. The Megillah teaches us that the threat against us was cooked up by a person who thought that we had lost our opportunity for tefillah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't hear us outside the Mikdash, outside of Israel. And the lesson is no. Wherever we are, whenever we need him, as close as we don't feel, we are. We are as close as that. Ma'arel has a bit of an expansion on this idea. Why do Rav Masna think this pasuk encapsulates the idea of Megillah? How does tefillah play such an important role in the Purim story? Says the Ma'arel in source number 7 in his commentary on Megillah's Esther called Or Chadash. Ma'arel writes, Ki atzalas Yisrael b'gu'ula zeh, the Jewish people's success in the Purim story, haya mikoach ha-tefillah, all came because of the power of prayer. Shehayu govrim b'zeh ala malek b'tefillah. Because in general, not just in this story of Haman, but Amalek in general, our power over Amalek, it's something good to think about as we approach Parsha Zachar this week. Our power over Amalek is with tefillah. As the Medrash writes in the Pasuk HaKol, Kol Yaakov Vayidayim Yedei Esav, when do we have success over the hands of Esav, the threat, the military danger of the Esavs, the Amaleks, the Hamans of the world? With Kol Yaakov. When we have tefillah, when Klal Yisrael daven, when there's Kol Yaakov, then there's no Yedayim Yedei Esav. When there's no Kol Yaakov, then there's yes Yedayim Yedei Esav. The lesson is, Haman and all that he stands for, all the evil of the world can be combated with the power of tefillah. And that's something that we learn from the story, not only of the Megillah, but also the story of the war against Amalek. Read Parshas Kisetze the Shabbos for Parshas Zachor. But if you look back in Parshas Beshalach, which we read on Purim morning, which is the original story of the war against Amalek, Pasuk seems to say it's about Moshe's hands going up or Moshe's hands going down. But Chazal say in Meseches Rosh Hashanah, it wasn't Moshe's magical hands. Moshe's magical hands go up, they win the war. Moshe's magical hands go down, they lose the war. No, Chazal make it very clear. When Moshe's hands went up, it was a symbol to Klal Yisrael, to daven up to Hashem, and the tefillah made all the difference. When Moshe's hands got weak and the people were losing focus in their tefillah, then they started to lose the war. Says the Ma'arel in the last line, La'arei lecha, I've shown you, ki atfilah hu nitzchan shel Amalek. Tefillah is the defeating factor that destroys Amalek. V'zehu inyan ha-Megillah. That is the entire purpose of the Megillah. Rav Masna, followed by the Rambam, quotes that pasuk as the theme, the value through which it's not Baal Tosef to say the Megillah is highlighting and publicizing an existing Torah value. It's the value of tefillah. The value of as far as we think we are from Hashem. His name is not there. We're in Gullus, our first major Gullus after going into Israel, building a base of Migdash. He thought we were done forever. Ahasuerus' whole party was because he thought we were done forever. In times where we can't see a Kadosh Baruch Hu and it feels like we're so distant, that was the time we learned that tefillah works. Kadosh Baruch Hu is responsive to us. Further, Chazal describe at the 22nd paragraph of Tehillim called Ayelas HaShachar is referring to the story of Mordechai and Esther. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, I think this is true, that there's a minug, we have to say Shir Shal Yom, and we always follow the day of the week. I don't care if it's Purim or if it's Pesach or it's, we always say the Shir Shal Yom, whatever it happens to be. If Purim is Sunday, we say the Shir Shal Yom of Sunday. In Eretz Yisrael, many follow the minug of the Vilna Gaon. Vilna Gaon's minhag was that it's not just Shir Shal Yom, it happens to be Sukkot on a Tuesday, or happens to be, you know, Pesach on a Thursday. Shir Shal Yom reflects what the essence of the day is, and therefore there's a separate Yom for Rosh Hashanah, for Yom Kippur. Each day has its own parak of Tehillim, not based on the day of the week. And for Purim, and for what? Tanis Esther and Purim. Thank you very much. For Tanis Esther and for Purim, which parak do they read? Ayelas HaShachar, Tehillim 22, that's the Shir Shal Yom. Chazal in Maseches Megillah and Daf Tesvav, and in the Medrash, go through. It's really written by David HaMelech. The first line says Lam Natzeach the David. David HaMelech wrote it, but Chazal understood he wrote it prophetically, speaking about a later time of the events of Mordechai and Esther, specifically Esther. And Chazal go through Esther's turmoil and terror and going to Achashverosh's palace when she wasn't called. Eli, Eli, lama azavtani? David HaMelech says, no, Esther says that. Esther is speaking. She is the Ayelas HaShachar. And Chazal, Masech HaSiyuma, and Daf Chavtes, in source number 8, ask, why is Esther called Ayala? Why is she called a deer? Why is she called a gazelle? In what way is this her tefillah? In what way is Purim and the miracle of Esther represented by an Ayala? And the Gemara answers, you know why? Because she davened. And in general, the tefillahs of tzaddikim are compared to an ayelet, compared to a gazelle, to a deer. Why? Answers the Gemara, Lomer lecha ma'ayala zo, kol zman shemegadeles karneam maftilos. As the deer gets older and bigger, its horns continue to grow. Af tzaddikim kol zman shemarbim betfilah tefillahs and nishmas. As they grow and as they continue to daven more and more and more, they're constantly pushing through. The Maharal, again, in his commentary on Esther, says, this is everything we need to know about Esther, about the Megillah, and what Purim is all about. He writes in source number 9, Ki anes bimei Haman haya b'shvil, shehashem yisparach shama tfilasan. The miracle only happened because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was responsive to our tfilos, which is represented by the Mizmor of Ayelas HaShachar. V'lo haya ge'ula shehigiyo Yisrael etzara, v'za'akam al HaShem yisparach, v'shama HaShem yisparach tfilasam, kimo zos. A bold claim. Maral says, no tefillah, and no miracle, and no event, and no salvation in Jewish history represents better the idea that tefillah works, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is responsive to tefillah. No incident, no geula in history represents this idea more clearly than the incident of Purim and the story of Esther. That's why he says, L'chach ha-geula ha-zos nikris ayeles. Why is it called this gazelle? Why is it called this deer? Ki keren ha-ayeles yesh lo pitzulim mikan u-mikan. It's not like a goat which has a regular horn, a couple of regular horns, or a unicorn. Sorry, my kids have all these unicorns around the house. It's not a real animal. I don't think so. They have all these kitty corns now. It's a half kitten, half unicorn. Are those real? Anyone know? Kitty corns? No, not real. Fine. So you have all these straight horns. But a deer, a moose, has not just a straight horn, has this gigantic web, this gigantic antler, which has a zillion different things coming out of it. To stop an antler would take a gigantic brick wall. You can't just block with a shield the horn of an ayelet, because it comes around. You stop it over here, it's coming around over here. It's this gigantic, branching, growing beast. And Chazal are telling us that's the power of tefillah. Tefillah of tzaddikim and Esther in this incident is like the horns, the antlers of an ayelet, which are just pushing and coming out from all sides. And the more that they push and push and push, it continues to break through. Says the Maharal halfway down, Kamoza haisa geulas Esther shehaisa al yedei tefillah. That power of tefillah kept pushing and kept pushing and breaking through. And when it felt like it was stopped, it pushed further, like the antlers just spreading all over the place. Since this is the greatest, the quintessential, the prime example, says the Maharal, of how tefillah saves us, I'll give it to you in source number 10, at the very, very end of the Megillah, where Mordechai and Esther are establishing as a day in perpetuity. And we wanted to know, where do we see anything about tefillah? It's about Megillah, it's about giving charity, about giving mishloach manos, having a suda. Where do we see anything in the Takana of Purim about tefillah? Well, here it is. Look at source number 10 for a second. Pasuk Lamed says, Vayishlach Sfarim el kol ha-Yehudim. This is the establishment of Purim generations. Pasuk Lamed Aleph, L'kayem esimei ha-Purim ha-Ela b'zmanehem, to establish Purim forever. V'chasher kiyemu al nafsham. Just like Mordechai and Esther daven for their lives, v'al zaram, sorry, they were mekayim on themselves to keep these mitzvahs for themselves, v'al zaram, divrei hatzomos v'zakasam. They established for them and for their families to fast and to cry out to Hashem. That's in the Megillah itself. Part of the takana, proliferation, establishment of Purim, was to establish days of fasting and days of crying out. That's built into the takana itself. We asked in the beginning, we don't find Purim's all about tefillah. Yes, we do. Mordechai and Esther made very clear that the purpose of these days, Tainus Esther, and for Purim, is to be able to cry out in tefillah. And the Maharal says, because that's the greatest example, the name of the holiday is all about that. The mizmor of the holiday, Ayelet HaShachar, is about the ayelet. The deer, the moose with the gigantic antlers are just ever far-reaching and can't be stopped. That's the power of tefillah. It can't be stopped. It's branching further and further and further, and it can't be stopped. L'chach nikres, says the Maharal back in Source 9, L'chach nikres ha-geula ha-zos al-shem ha-tefillah. He also writes, I cut it out in the middle section, he writes not just the Shachar, not just the Ayelet, but also the Shachar. Shachar also represents things are dark, doom and gloom, and all of a sudden that first dawn breaks through, and it starts to spread everywhere, just like the antlers. Starts from one place, and it branches off everyone, you can't stop it. The dawn takes this dark, gloomy, hopeless situation, and all of a sudden, the light starts to spread, and the light starts to beam, and the light starts to spread, Melocha L'Aretz Kavodo. That's the power of tefillah. It's like the Ayelet and like the Shachar. That's the name of the tefillah. That's the name of the holiday. That's the name of the geula. It's all about the power of tefillah, and it's all about the never-ending connection we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is so close to us. That was what the Rambam was trying to say, Rav Twersky pointed out. That Chazal were not violating Baal Tosef because they're fitting Purim to an existing theme. And the Megillah's main theme is our closeness with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was Lahodiyah, not just to praise Hashem, but for us to know in every generation. Unfortunately, we still find ourselves in a matzav of war, of danger, where Amalek seems to be destroying and giving us so much pain. This is the time to remember, Lahodiyah, for generations, to always remember praise of Hashem, and also to remember whatever situation we're in, as bleak as things look. It can be like an Ayel HaShachar, it can be ever-branching, ever-growing, ever-permeating Shemayim, to give us a chance to have our tefillos break through, and to be answered and overcome Amalek. The Brisker Rav, this is my favorite source of the night. The Brisker Rav says, you can actually find this idea of the Rambam in the famous Piyut of Shoshanas Yaakov, which we sing after Megillah, both at night and by day. One of the lines there, says the Brisker Rav in source number 11, the Griz, he says, Shuasim Hayisa L'Netzach, we say that the salvation was forever, the Sikva Sam B'chol Dor V'Dor, and this hope gives us hope in every generation. Lahodiyah, there's the word Lahodiyah again. Lahodiyah, shekol kovecha lo yevoshu. That all those who hold out hope for you, Hashem, will not be empty-handed. Lo yikomu lanetzach, they won't be distant forever. Kol achosim bach, all those who reach out to you. And the Brisker Rav asks, where did the Paitan get this idea from? Where do you see anything in Megillas Esther about that? We have Shoshanas Yaakov about the sweet-smelling rose, and Mordechai and Esther, they were saved. But where do you see anything about this idea of kol kovecha lo yevoshu? Or do you see anything in the Megillah that this is the Ikar of the Megillah that we could say that it's about those who daven are not going to be empty-handed? Yes, he quotes our Rambam, and the Rambam writes, the whole purpose of the Megillah was Lahodiyah. Lahodiyah, where does that come from? Lahodiyah, but Shoshanas Yaakov. Lahodiyah. Shekol kovecha lo yevoshu. That's the Rambam said. Lahodiyah, the purpose of Tainus Esther and Megillah Esther and Purim is Lahodiyah. Shekol kovecha lo yevoshu. V'lo yikamu lanetzach. That's what Megillah is all about. We finish reading Megillas Esther. We stand up and we all sing and say together. The point of this book, of this letter that we just read, is mainly about one thing. Not Nisan per se, not HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hester Panim per se. The main theme, we get up and we sing it together, is Lahodiyah for Persumei Nisa, for all of us to know, Shekol Kovecha Lo Yevoshu, V'lo Yikamu Lanetzach Kol Achosim Bach. That those who daven will not be turned away empty-handed. That those who reach out will not be disappointed. That those who cry out to Hashem will not find Him far away, because Hashem is close. Mi goy gadol. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is close. B'chol kareinu elav. Whenever we call out to Him. We make that declaration after reading the Megillah, because that's the whole point. That's the Ikar of Purim. The Ikar of Purim is to realize, to publicize, to internalize that awareness that tefillah works. When it's a close call and we're so close to being destroyed, we have this close call. We have this ability to turn to Hashem wherever we are. As far as we think we've fallen, we can call out to Hashem. Kol haposhet yado, nosnim lo. That's where it comes from. The Megillah itself. That's the theme, the main theme of Megillah Esther. Tefillah. We'll take it a step further. Not only is that the lesson of the Megillah, the lesson learned out from the story of Purim is tefillah always works. Tefillah is a chance for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be responsive. Not only is that the lesson from the story in the Megillah, perhaps that is the Megillah itself. There is an amazing Me'iri, what Rav Schachter, out of context, would say. Rav Schachter likes to say things are collector's items. There's a collector's item Me'iri. We may not pass them like this Me'iri, but it's a collector's item. The Gemara in source number 12 wants to know, the question we asked before, where is the Hallel on Purim? If Purim really is a day of tefillah, it should at least be like Hanukkah, which has Hallel. Where is the Hallel on Purim? You know what the Gemara answers? In one of its answers? Rav Nachman Amar in source number 12, Kriyasa zo Halela. Mikra Megillah is Hallel. We do say Hallel on Purim, just not after Shachar, Shoshana Esrei. We say it a little bit later, after Kriyas HaTorah. It's called the Megillah. And we sit down and we listen. That's a Hallel. The Me'iri writes an unbelievable thing. In source number 13, it's a collector's item Me'iri. We may not pass him this way. But he takes this so seriously, he says, that's the case. If a person is in the middle of the desert and they have no access to an actual Megillah, they should make a bracha and say Hallel. So much so does he understand that Purim really is a day of saying Hallel. It's just that we are saying Hallel. It's called the Megillah. The Megillah is not just teaching us through its story that we have the idea of Tefillah. It's that Megillah itself is Tefillah. The Megillah itself is not just Talmud Torah. And hey, through learning the story in Tanakh, we learn an important lesson about Tefillah. Megillah is Tefillah. Mikra Megillah is an act of Tefillah. The Rambam said Kedei Lahodia about praising Hashem and recognizing that He's close to us. As we read the Megillah, we are doing that. We are praising Hashem by reading the Megillah like a person saying Hallel is praising Hashem saying Hallel. A person who is listening, saying Amen to the Brachas, Pinyotze through Shomea Ka'ona, is reading it. Okay. Just like when it comes to Kiddush and Havdalah, when it comes to Hallel, a person can be Motzi, maybe. Maybe for Hallel, maybe yes, maybe no. But yes, you're right. We don't say Baruch Hu V'Rach Shmo, we make the Brachas in the Megillah, because we're being Yotze with the Shliach Tzibur. We are being Yotze as well. No, Amen is one of the ways, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, talking about Shomea Ka'ona, making Amen, but Amen is our way of showing our attentiveness as if we made the bracha as well. When we were Yotze Kiddush on Friday night with someone else, we say Amen to that bracha, when we listen to Abdallah, we say Amen. We don't say Baruch Hu V'Rach Shmo in Kiddush, we don't say Baruch Hu V'Rach Shmo by Shofar, we don't say Baruch Hu V'Rach Shmo by Abdallah, but we do say Amen to all those brachas, and we're Yotze with the bracha of the Shliach Tzibur, the Tokeya, and Rosh Hashanah, and we're Yotze with Kiddush on Friday night, and we're Yotze on Havdalah Motzei Shabbos, and we're Yotze, we're all saying Megillah. Shomea Ka'ona, we're all saying Mikra Megillah, we're all doing it together. It's one collective Hallel. Even better than a piecemeal, each person saying it on their own, we're all saying it together. We're all being Yotze, we can't miss a single word. If we do, we make it up, so we do say some part of it, if we miss a word. But every single word is Hallel. Every single word is Shevach. Every single word is Tefillah. So how do you like that? Purim is all about Tefillah. We said, where does that come from? The Rambam says that was the framework Chazal were using to establish Purim, to establish Mikra Megillah. Lahodia, Shekol Kovach, Alo Yevosh, Alo Yekamu Lanetzach, Kol HaChosim Bach. That is what we get up and we say, because that is the whole point of the Megillah. Not only is it a lesson from the Megillah, it's being done as we read the Megillah. We are engaging in a public act of Hallel, of Shevach LaHashem. The Me'iri's Chiddush, that if you don't have a Megillah, you say Hallel is a wild Chiddush, amazing Chiddush. Not for now, not halacha l'maisa, for now. But think what he's saying. He takes that literally. That the Gemara is telling us Mikra Megillah really is the fulfillment of a day that does have and does deserve Hallel. Our Mikra Megillah is exactly that. Now the only question is, how about these other mitzvot of Purim? Mikra Megillah teaches us, and itself is an act of tefillah. So what about the other mitzvot of the day? How do those fit into that theme? It's all about tefillah, calling out to Hashem, kol ha'poshet yado, noslim lo. How do the other mitzvot fit in? Rabbi Twersky pointed out that the Rambam doesn't count those other mitzvot as separate mitzvot. The Rambam has an introduction, like a one line, usually like a koteret, a title, a subtitle. And in the halachos of Megillah and Chanukah, which he puts together in the same book, the halachos of Megillah, of Purim and Chanukah, the Rambam writes in source number 14, Hilchos Megillah v'Chanukah. This is the title. This is the koteret. These are the halachos of Purim and Chanukah. Yesh b'chlalan shtei mitzvos asei midivrei sofrim. And there are two mitzvos here that are midrabanan. Ve'eda min aminyan, they don't count from the Taryag mitzvos. And I'll explain to you, the Rambam says, what these two mitzvos are. Rav Twersky pointed out, why is the Rambam counting mitzvos d'rabanan? Well, the Rambam has an introduction to Hilchos Peah, Hilchos Shatnez, Hilchos Karbanos. He tells you how many mitzvot are in this section because he's working toward the Taryag. Why does he bother counting mitzvot d'rabanan? There's no number he's working towards. So why is he telling us it's two? And also, what are the two? Shouldn't it be six? It should be four on Purim, Megillah, Matanos Avionim, Mishloach Manos, Mishloach V'Simcha, and Chanukah. It should be Ner Chanukah and Hallel. Why does the Rambam only say two? If you look in Source 15, when he starts to count them, he says, Kriyas HaMegillah Bizmana Mitzvah Saseh Midivrei Sofrim. That one mitzvah of Purim I told you about, it's the Megillah. He doesn't count separately. He made an effort to say there's only two mitzvahs here. One Purim and one Chanukah. We'll leave Chanukah aside for now. It's not Chanukah time right now. For Purim, he says there's one mitzvah of Purim and it's Mikra Megillah. What happened to Matanos Levyonim and Shalach Manos? What happened to the other mitzvahs of Purim? Tversky pointed out that it's clear from the Rambam that those aren't separate mitzvahs. Those mitzvahs are somehow meant to support the theme of Mikra Megillah. Mikra Megillah is the main mitzvah. He told us it was Lahodiyah, it was the main theme of Shekol Kavecha Lo Yivoshev L'Kam L'Netzach Kol Chosim Bach. It was about the power of tefillah, and about being close to Hashem, B'chol Karein Uwei Lav. So how do those other mitzvahs support that? They're not separate mitzvahs. The idea of giving charity, the idea of giving gifts to each other, the idea of having parties and enjoying simcha with each other, that somehow reinforces the idea of tefillah. Tversky said, it must be that the Rambam is understanding that those mitzvahs are meant to create camaraderie, which enhances our tefillahs. Our shir last time was talking about the power of tefillah b'tzibur. No, tefillah is hatzibur. Soloveitchik's idea of chazaras hashatz, that we're davening together as one unit. It's a separate entity than tefillah b'tzibur, where the yechidim get together and we're davening at the same time as other people. Tefillah b'tzibur. Tefillah is hatzibur, the Rav said, is a special new kind of tefillah, a second tool in our tool belt that allows us to have the joint power of the Rav. Or we demand to Hashem that He accepts our tefillos. As the Yachid, we beg, we ask, if He can please listen to our tefillos, as the Rav HaKadosh Baruch Hu owes us, we demand that He answer our tefillos. It could be, Rav Tversky pointed out, that the Rambam understands that the other mitzvahs of Purim are meant to help us connect with each other to form that tzibur. After all, the Rambam writes the power of the tzibur in Hilchos Tshuva in the following way, in source number 16. The Rambam writes, even though it's always good for a person to daven, always good for a person to fix their ways, during Aseres Yemei Teshuvah, let's say on Yom Kippur, a person's tefillos are more accepted, a person's teshuva is more accepted. Chazal say, Masechas Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Ches, seek out Hashem where He is available, and He is more close, He is more available during the Aseres Yemei Teshuva. Then the Gemara asks the question, but Hashem is only close during Aseres Yemei Teshuva? He's never close to us during the rest of the year? And the Gemara says, no, it depends. And here the Rambam quotes it. When is it true HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only available and only close to us during the Aseres Yemei Teshuva? Biyachid, when a person davens biyachidus, and does teshuva biyachidus, and acts like an individual, then Yom Kippur, then Aseres Yemei Teshuva, are particularly auspicious. Says the Rambam, Avot Tzibur calls man she'osim teshuva v'tzoakim b'leiv shalim. When the Tzibur gets together as a Tzibur, and they cry out together as a Tzibur, they daven together as a Tzibur, they fix their ways as a Tzibur, heim nanin miyad, they are answered immediately, just like on Yom Kippur, for the individual, so too for the Tzibur. What's the pasuk he quotes? What's the source that the Rabbim is always answered wherever they are, whenever it is? You're not going to believe this. It's the same pasuk. Ki mi goy gadol asher lo alokim krovim elav. Who is a nation, as a tzibur, who is a nation like us, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is close to, kashem elokinu b'chol karinu elav. Every time we beseech Him, every time we call out to Him, He is there for us. So we have two tracks over here. We have the track of the Yachid. The Yachid finds it hard to connect to Hashem and can't guarantee HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be responsive to his or her tefillos. During Aseres Yemei Teshuva, on Yom Kippur, there's a better lift to those tefillos of the Yachidim. But says the Rambam, what the Yachid needs Yom Kippur to do, the Tzibur can do all year long. And what's this based on? Ki mi goy gadol, kashem elokeinu b'chol kareinu elav. That's the pasuk the Rambam says Mikra Megillah is coming to reinforce. When the Rambam wanted to find a context to explain why it's not Baal Tosef, it's no. Chazal told us it's the Rabbanan, and they fit their takana into an existing framework. What pasuk did they pick? Did the Rambam pick? Did Rav Masna pick? It's the pasuk that teaches us that when we are a tzibur, and when we are a goy gadol, when we are a nation, as opposed to scattered, as Haman said, b'fuzar m'fura ben amim, when we're not scattered, when we are collected, and we are united, and we are ba'achtas, the Rambam says, that is the power of Purim. The power of Purim can come when we are at Tzibur. Not only on Purim. We can accomplish Yom Kippur level of closeness all year long when we're with the Tzibur. And Purim is the ultimate expression of that. And therefore, it requires being at Tzibur. It requires being connected. It requires being with each other. So the mitzvahs of Purim are about being with each other, about breeding camaraderie, are about whoever sticks out their hand, you give them something. I don't care if he's not worthy. Bring him in. Be responsive to him. To give mishloach manos. To build friendship. Mishtav Simcha, to get together and drink Adlo Yada until you can't think anymore about reasons to dislike someone because of the color of their yarmulke, or where they grew up, or where they went to school. Such silly, stupid things that separate us all year. We get together, we drink till we don't know the difference between who's good, who's bad, and we say, give me a hug! Get in here! That's the camaraderie of Purim, the mitzvos of Mishtav Simcha. Matanas Le'avyonim, Mishlach Manas Ishtarei Ehu. They're not counted separately in the Rambam's count. Why is he counting at all? He's trying to tell you they're all one mitzvah of Purim. In order to have that power of Mikra Megillah, which is itself a tefillah, a halal, and is itself a lesson for us, that lesson of Purim is going to be true when we are Migoy Gadol, when we act like a nation, when we get together. If there are mitzvos that allow us to connect together, it's serving the same purpose as Mikra Megillah. Lahodia, that if we get together and do tshuva and daven and fast like a tzibur, we have the power of the tzibur. B'chol karinu we love. He's close and he's there whenever we need. That's the power of Purim. Perhaps that's another pshat in the idea of Yom Kippurim. Yom Kippur is Yom Kippurim. Yom Kippur can accomplish what Purim already has. What the Yachid has to strive and push to do, that's Kippurim. At best, he can come as close in Yom Kippur to Hashem as the tzibur already is on Purim. As the tzibur always is all the days of the year. But the tzibur is really together on Purim. Purim is the paradigm of being together. We break down all these divisions of who's Baruch and who's Arur, and who's this and who's that, and who's friend, who's not friend, who's deserving, who's not deserving. You stick out your hand, you're deserving. You're coming over to my house, Baruch, Arur, I don't care who you are during the rest of the year. On this day we try to work on, we're all connected. We're that Goy Gadol, we're that nation. That facilitates the power of tefillah that Mikra Megillah is all about. It's one mitzvah, it's one theme, it's the power of Purim. And if that's the case, it's not just a play on words, hey, just like we say about Matanos Le'avyonim, whoever puts out their hand, you have to give them. So Hashem also does the same thing. He also responds to those putting out their hands. It's more of a schar va'onesh. It's more of a mida keneged mida. If you're the kind of person who lives Purim with this sense of Matanos Le'avyonim, I don't care who you are, I'll come close to you, I'll give you a hand, I'll give you an encouragement, I'll give you mishloach manos. If that's how you treat Purim, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, now you're a tzibur. Now reach out to me. I'll be responsive to you. You're now that goy gadol that I'll be b'chol karinu we love. If we act in a way that creates the camaraderie, then we turn our tefillahs from a tefillahs yachid to a tefillahs hatzibur, like we talked about last time. Not only for Chazaras Hashatz, but Mikra Megillah is an act of halal as a tzibur, davening together, and we're answered on Purim with the auspicious power. Because we're connecting. I mentioned last night between Milchamara the idea of the Manas Halevi, Rav Shlomo Alkabetz, who says that the whole purpose of Mishloach Manas was to breed friendship. Whereas Haman said, we're a Yeshno Am, Mifuzar, Mifarab, we're clicky, we're divided, we don't get along. Manas Halevi says to combat that, Mordechai and Esther said, the mitzvahs of Purim are going to have to contain camaraderie. I mentioned last night, it's ironic sometimes, when we give Mishloach Manas, we think, who are we going to give to this year? Who are we not going to give to? Who's deserving of our Mishloach Manos? Who lives too far away? Who didn't give us last year? Who do we not know? Who's not in our age bracket? Don't miss the whole point. Mishloach Manos was specifically designed to avoid that problem, to overcome that issue of Mifuzar Mifarad Bein Ha'amim, to bridge differences, to say, I'm specifically going to give someone that I wasn't going to give this year. Give that person! Make the bridge, build the connection, become a tzibur. That's how we become Goy Gadol. Kashem Elokeinu B'chol Kareinu Melev. That's how it's possible. And this idea that Purim is really all about the power of tefillah, the power of tefillah satzibur, the closeness HaKadosh Baruch Hu has with us, specifically when we're interconnected and become that goy gadol, doesn't only start next week, it actually starts tonight with Tainus Esther. Tainus Esther is actually a strange halachic anomaly. This year, not as much. But in a regular year, Tainus Esther is Erev Purim. Not this year, it's Yud Aleph this year, but in a regular year, it's Yud Gimel, it's Erev Purim. It's a little bit unusual and a halachic problem because when Chazal made up holidays of Rabbanan, they compiled them in a list called Megillas Tainus, a list of days you're not allowed to fast. Chanukah and Purim were on that list, as well as many other holidays that they used to observe many years ago that have not been in observance for a very long time. And Chazal, when they came along with holidays of Rabbanan, they wanted to give it more teeth. And to give the holiday more teeth, they said, not only can you not fast on Chanukah or Purim, you can't fast Erev Chanukah or Purim, and you can't fast the day after Chanukah and Purim. That's what Chazal say. So the question everyone asks is, what's Tainus Esther doing here? Can't fast Erev Purim. How did this fast sneak in there? It's not even like, well, Esther fasts on Yud Gimel Adar, so we also do. You know when Esther fasted? Esther's fast wasn't on Adar. Esther's fast was on Pesach in Nisan. 3 days in Nisan. Esther didn't even fast on Yud Gimel Adar. Many answers in the Rishonim exactly what is the goal of Highness Esther and how is it allowed.
Yeah, but also with time is I mean, a time is if you have to push it off, you're pushing it off further.
It's another question. Very good. They also asked that question, right? In a year like this year, thank you for bringing it back to this year. In a year like this year, when there's Peronios, when there's a conflict between Shabbos and a fast day, we push off the fast day. Halacha is, Ein Matim and Peronios. You can't bring Peronios earlier. So one of the questions is, how can you make Tainus Esther earlier than it's supposed to be? Excellent. That's another one of the questions that this is about to answer. The answer is, how can you make Peronios earlier? And how can you fast Erev Purim? The Ron and Sarsim are 20 quotes the Ravid. This fast is not like other fasts. This is not Shavas or Batamas, Sana Sarah Bateves. We're not mourning anything on Tainus Esther. Why are we fasting on Tainus Esther? Says the Ravid in source number 20. The Yud Gimel Eino Domo L'Shartanios, the Zichron Hu L'Neis Shenasebo. We fast to remember how the Kadosh Baruch Hu answered us. In fact, one of the Rishonim, the Kolbo in source 21, has an amazing language. Hutanis Shel Simcha. Whoa. A fast of Simcha? What does that mean? People are starving and they're feeling sick. Where's the simcha? Zikaron hanes kibluhu besimcha ba'osa shah aleihem v'alzaram divrei tzamos v'zakasam. The idea of tefillah, the idea of fasting, that is the kimu, that is the main takana of Purim, is to remember how Kadosh Baruch Hu is responsive to our teshuvah, to our fasting, to our tefillah. That idea is so important, lahodiah, to know that we fast too. And this fast is not peronios. You know what? We could be makdimit. We're not afraid of this fast. We're not avoiding being sad or avoiding being depressed. There's no depression on Tainus Esther. We're not sad. It can even happen Erev Purim, which normally can't happen. It can happen Erev Purim. You know why? It's not a contradiction to the Simcha of the day. Part of the fast is the Simcha of the day. A Rebbe Rav Reish and Shalom used to say on Tainus Esther, Afreilich in Tainus Esther, based on these sources. Afreilich in Tainus Esther. Everyone's like, why? Like, do you have food for us? Why? Afreilich in Tainus Esther. We're not sad on Tainus Esther. You know what we're thinking about? The last verse of the night, Mishabura quotes in the Rambam. What is the idea of Tainus Esther? Why do they fast in Tainus Esther? To remember the Jewish people fought a war on this day. It's not the fast of Esther. Esther's fast was in Nisan. Mishabura quotes from earlier sources, on this day we gathered together to fight. And if we were fighting a war, Mistam we were davening and doing teshuvah and fasting. So we too fast. The end of the seat. Today, why do we fast? Not to be sad, not to be depressed. We're not mourning anything. Nothing bad happened on Tainus Esther. Kidei lizkor shaHashem yisparach roe v'shomea kol ish be'es tzaraso. Tainus Esther teaches us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking. He is close. He is attentive whenever we're in pain. Kasher yis'ana v'yashav al Hashem, when we fast and we dive into Hashem b'chol levavo, kimosha asa v'yam mahim. That is the idea of Tainus Esther, and it starts tonight. It's a simcha. It's a simcha. It's a comfort. It's a lahodiyah. It's a shevach of Hashem. When we fast, when we change our ways, especially as a tzibur, we are becoming that goy gadol, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is close, b'chol karinu elav. Purim is that day of tefillah, and it starts tonight. It starts with Tainus Esther. When we think about how Kadosh Baruch Hu is not just there in nature, it's more than that. He is responsive to us. He is attentive to us. He is able to listen wherever we are, whatever's going on. And on Purim, whatever we ask for, He is attentive. As long as we create the ambiance of a tzibur, of a nation that is able to be ba'achdus, to be together as the Goy Gadol, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is responsive. So what are our takeaways for tonight on the last page? Number one, Purim is an auspicious day for tefillah. As we extended the halacha of Matanas Levyonim to tefillah, all who extend a hand will be given. This is the main lesson of the Megillah itself. Hashem is always close. As the Rambam said, Kedei Lahodiyah, this was the entire purpose of Mikra Megillah, to teach us Kadosh Baruch Hu responds when we're in need. Maral told us that tefillah is that antidote for Amalek, for Haman, for all the terrible things that we experience in this world. Purim teaches us that the answer to Amalek, the answer for evil, is our secret weapon known as tefillah. Brisker Rav pointed out that Shoshanas Yaakov, which we all say right after reading the Megillah, is a way of lahodiyah, shekol kovecha lo yivoshu, lo yikamu lenetzach, ko achosim bach, the power of tefillah, the responsiveness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As the Meiri said, Megillah literally is the halal on Purim. Megillah itself is a form of tefillah. And the idea of other mitzvahs to bring camaraderie and bring us close together are possible to create what Yom Kippur has for a Yachid, a Tzibur has the entire year, and especially on Purim, when we break down division, when we allow ourselves to become close with each other, becoming that Tzibur that has the access of Tefillah, and in doing so, starting tonight with Tanis Esther, all the way until Shushan Purim, and maybe beyond, we think about this idea, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always there, how Purim really is a day of Tefillah. Take advantage, between drinks, between hugs, between dancing around on top of cars, whatever we're up to. Whatever we're wearing, whatever we're saying, whatever we're doing, take a time to daven, to make brachos, to focus on tefillah, during the Megillah, during the Seudah, whatever it is, the Alanisim, whatever it is that we're saying, has so much power. It's a tremendously auspicious time for tefillah. We should be zocha to remember, k'nei lahodiyah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is available for all of us as we need, and we should be seeing, b'meir v'yameinu, all of our needs met, b'yamim ha'hem, b'zman hazeh.